Welcome to the Neuromyelitis Optica Spectrum Disorder edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the NMOSD community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. We're here today talking with Dr. Michael Yeaman, Chief Medical Advisor at the Guthy Jackson Charitable Foundation. Dr. Yeaman is also a professor of medicine and chief of molecular medicine at UCLA's Geffen School of Medicine in Los Angeles. Thank you for being with us today.
Larry, thank you very much. Good to be here.
Let's start by asking you to talk about the foundation and how you came to be involved with it.
Thanks so much, Larry. About 13 years ago, I joined the foundation, which formed when Victoria Jackson and Bill Guthy, their daughter, was afflicted by a mystery disease, which later became diagnosed as neuromyelitis optica. This is a disease that the immune system creates where it misrecognizes a water channel protein called aquaporin 4, which is enriched in the central nervous system. When the immune system makes the mistake and attacks that protein, it kills cells like astrocytes and neurons, which ultimately causes demyelination in the brain and spinal cord, and that leads to a number of symptoms, potentially paralysis and blindness, for example.
What is the prevalence of NMOSD?
Well, when the foundation began, it was thought to be about 1 in 1 million. However, now we know that it's more like 5 in 100,000. So the incidence and prevalence of NMO and its spectrum disorders called NMOSD have increased 50-fold in the last decade because of science, research, clinical trials that have been invested and now have made remarkable advances.
Is there any geographical, ethnic, or racial factor involved in this? Is it a purely genetic luck of the draw, so to speak, or is there any pattern here?
We know that some genetic determinants can influence risk. However, it's not solely a genetic disorder. Some of the genes that enable the immune system to detect and respond to antigens are involved in this disease. However, there are probably other factors, including environmental or related determinants that can influence disease risk. Interestingly, the disease is more prevalent in people of color, particularly those of African heritage, those of Afro-Caribbean heritage, and those of Latino or Latina heritage. So it's an interesting situation. We're trying to understand why this might be. But to date, the origins of NMOSD, that is, what causes it in the first place, are still a mystery. One important point, however, NMOSD is by far more common in women than men. And so we think that there is probably a relationship between the immune system of women, which, as you know, is designed to look the other way during a pregnancy, whereas tolerance can be broken apparently more easily in women with respect to immune misrecognition of the water channel aquaporin 4.
Very interesting. So it would stand to reason that there's a higher prevalence in Africa and Latin America and the Caribbean.
That's right. And also individuals of those descendancies. So African-Americans, Afro-Caribbeans, both in Brazil and elsewhere in the world, et cetera. So it's a very interesting paradigm that we're exploring and trying to understand.
Now, I understand that since the foundation's establishment, $68 million has been invested to promote research and education, and in addition to which the National Institutes of Health has awarded $17.5 million just in the last year, which I understand is up from $1.5 million when the foundation was formed. How do you explain this huge increase in funding?
I think the investment that the founders have made was intended for, you know, multiple purposes. First, of course, to accelerate basic understanding and enable, you know, next generation approaches to treat the disease. And that led, as you probably know, to 4 clinical trials in the last 5 years that have resulted in 3 approved therapies, the first ever therapies. So after 100 years of no approved therapies, there are now 3 approved therapies for NMOSD. The second purpose of the founders' investment was to light a torch, to create enabling capabilities so that others can carry on and continue to do research. And this is why the NIH and other similar funding agencies around the world are increasingly funding research on NMOSD. In fact, many believe that NMOSD is the model autoimmune disease that might open doors to solving many, if not most, autoimmune diseases.
Very interesting. You said that you estimate the prevalence at one point was thought to be 1 in 1 million. Obviously, it's now believed to be 50 times as prevalent as previous, which comes to what, roughly 400,000 patients believed in the world, correct, with NMOSD. Of that total, how many do you suspect are in the United States?
The estimates at present, Larry, are approximately 30 to 40,000 in the United States. However, that might be an underestimate given that many NMOSD patients are misdiagnosed with MS. And that's true around the world as well. And of course, if you do the math, hundreds of thousands of individuals are probably affected by NMOSD worldwide.
Can we talk about those clinical trials and how many people were involved as volunteers for controls as well as patients? What can we say about those clinical trials and what's resulted from them? You mentioned three approved therapies. Over the years, I know there's been an explosion of peer-reviewed research papers on this specific disease.
This is actually an incredible story of determination and courage and altruism. When the trials began, the regulatory agencies were very determined to make them as judicious as possible. And what that meant was there were placebo-controlled trials. Now imagine yourself as a patient who signs up for a clinical trial with a potentially devastating disease, knowing that you might be randomized into a group that receives placebo or some basic therapy that has not really worked that well. It turns out that if you add up all the patients in the four clinical trials, there were a total of about 475 courageous, we call them NMOSD heroes, who volunteered for these trials. And as a result, the trials, all of them, were successful with very high degrees of efficacy and safety, ranging up to over 90% relapse-free. And that translated to the approval of three drugs, the first ever therapies for NMOSD that are approved. So when you think about this, you know, 450 individuals volunteering in a way, knowing that they could potentially be in a placebo group, have enabled approved therapies for hundreds of thousands of individuals around the world. That's a remarkable story.
Incredible. Can you talk a bit about Victoria Jackson's book?
So The Power of Rare is a book that we wrote together in a way that tries to blend the humanistic aspects of the experience of the journey with NMOSD on top of a blueprint for medical, scientific, and educational advancement. And what we really tried to do was illustrate how each individual who has NMOSD has a tremendous power because of their rarity. In fact, it's the concept that rare is the exception that proves the rule that really brought to light through the book many ways that science has advanced, not only in the field of NMOSD, but also other autoimmune diseases, and how this new understanding can reach into other immune health categories, including cancer, transplantation, and overall immune health. So we think of this concept, the power of rare, as the power of one raised to the benefit of all.
On that note, I'd like to conclude. Dr. Yemez, thank you very much for your time and for speaking with us, and we appreciate your hard work.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.